So welcome everybody to the sixth and final session of the Beyond Stuckness program. And we're already starting here, obviously. So the first part, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes, depending, I'd like you to just share what you've gotten out of this so far. You know, what have you seen? What have you realized? And, you know, it's an important thing to do this when you do a program, because changes happen and they blend into our lives and we're not stuck in a certain place anymore and we don't even realize it. It's sort of like you've been limping around on a leg and one day you're not limping. You don't realize it was the thing the doctor gave you that made the difference. And it's like, oh, that doctor didn't make a lot of difference. Yeah, I'm cured, but, you know, what the heck. So it's useful for you, just for you to take responsibility for changes. Because I was kind of there and provided the conditions and was the catalyst for changes, but you took the actions. And, you know, don't feel bad if you haven't had, quote, the breakthrough of your life yet, you know. That might take some time to happen. You never know. And you might have had some really big insights that opened up a new possibility, and you see, if I just keep work on this and looking at some of these things, they do really shift. So I can see the power here. So let me stop talking. Let me hear from a few of you. Who would like to go first?
Well, this is Steve Kohlenberger.
Hi.
Hi. I actually, believe it or not, have a question and insights, but I do have a question. I find sometimes it seems better to let my client figure out where they're stuck by me leading them. And sometimes it seems much more effective if I just help them and tell them. And I'm sometimes not sure which one is better. And that's kind of my question.
Have you used this process with some of your clients?
Yeah.
Okay.
And quite successfully in some cases. One of them kept calling me and emailing me for days and days, saying, I keep getting more breakthroughs, and I keep getting, this is amazing, this is fantastic. And
that's good.
Wonderful. And I found in that case, I was leading them and tossing out like crumbs in front of them so that they kind of knew where we were going. But I didn't stick it in their face directly. But I know, because I have a psychology background too, that sometimes it's good for a client to find their way. And sometimes it's good for, like me, to just kind of blurt things. I'm really good at blurting. You know, there's the...
Yeah. Well,
Steve, I'm not sure which one is better when.
Well, the thing that produces the best results is the way to go. And, you know, everybody...
that makes sense.
Yeah, really. So everybody doing this process might have their own style or whatever, but... I'm going to talk about some of these things a little bit after our sharing. Okay.
Okay.
So I don't want to sort of stop that and get into all the different things you can do to facilitate this. So for right now, let's just share some insights and break.
And let me go into the
insight. Go ahead.
One of the best ones for me is I shifted from, gee, I think I kind of know how to do this, to I'm comfortable with it, and I can say, I can get people unstuck when they're stuck.
Okay.
And to me, that was a huge difference.
Yeah. How about your own stuckness?
My own stuckness?
Yeah.
I found about halfway through all of these classes, I got to a place where I wasn't feeling stuck. I knew that wherever it was, I could get past it. And it was almost like I wouldn't let myself get stuck. Whatever that was, okay, that's just not going to let me get stuck. I'm not going to get stuck there anymore. I'm just going to unplug whatever that thing was that I was afraid of or whatever I was. I'm just like, I'm not going to even go to a place where I'm going to let myself get stuck anywhere.
Okay. Well, you might call that an inoculation against stuckness.
That's good.
And I guess we can't complain about that. I think that's kind of true for me. So, you know, and not always, because sometimes certain circumstances
right.
create certain that's triggers that conspire to, you know.
Right. We still haven't figured those out.
Set me on the wrong path, right? So,
right.
But I've said before that anyone, after you've learned this process and you get it, and you get the concepts underneath it, and you've had some experience with it, and each question, you really understand the purpose of each question to see a particular thing. You know, if you've done that enough, and some people doing this class have done that, and maybe some need to do it a bit more, but you can start to get that as you start to see a limiting belief come up. For one, it's not hidden anymore. It's not just acting on you totally unconsciously. You just... It's like, you know, it loses its invisibility factor, you know, and it's just there. Oh, there's a negative belief. Look at that thing. That's
yeah, laugh, and then off I go. I just like, okay, yeah. Don't stop. Bye bye. See you later. I'm off again.
Yeah. Or you might ask one question. You know, when you're at that point, just asking yourself one question, pausing, and it could be any of the questions. Okay, is what I'm saying really true? No. It's just, I mean, it breaks the spell. Sometimes it does. That's enough. Or, holy, if I keep holding on to that, what's that going to cost me? See how any one of them just can make towering sense after you've gone through it all? Or, gee, what am I getting out of thinking this? I'm going down this path of all these negative things. What am I getting out of this? And you might go, oh, I see. I just want to be right.
mm-hmm.
Just want to be right. And it just, you blow your cover. You know, if you can get to that place, you really can. I mean, I have thoughts come up as much as anybody else, but I've really mastered this process. And so when this kind of stuff happens, I don't usually go down the dark tunnel. You know the dark tunnel, everybody?
Yeah, at the bottomless pit that you're just sure you're going to hit the bottom of.
Yes, the bottomless pit of despair and hopelessness and blame and, you know, whatever the heck it is. So just one of these questions, you know, who would I be right now if I couldn't attach to this thought?
Hmm?
So these questions are very powerful just by themselves.
A couple other things, or at least one other thing that I found incredibly helpful is that would get stuck is... some place where I would come into a quandary like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do or I don't know what to... And so what I would then turn to, is I would then go to create an experiment. So I've learned that experiments are my friend. I would then try it. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. So
yeah.
Go find out. It's a
right.
Simple shift from, gee, worry and fret because I don't know or I don't know what to do here or what would they say or how could, and say, okay, you're right, I don't know. Go find out. And so I've turned from a fearful, quandering, wondering, anxious to curious. Adventurer.
Curious and adventurous, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Tremendous.
Okay, so Steve, we got to move on. I want to have time for more people to share. So, but that's really good stuff. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Okay, who else has got an insider or some changes that they've seen as a result of this?
Robert, this is Scott.
Hi, Scott.
How are you?
Great.
Yeah, I had a situation that actually started last Thursday or Friday with I work with playgrounds for schools.
Uh-huh.
Commercial playgrounds.
Uh-huh.
And I had done a job back in August for a contractor through the state here in New Jersey. And we were specified. So, you know, it was because it's in an inner city area and it's better than really better than anything else out there at the moment. So anyway, to make a long story short, there's about four of these jobs coming up over the next 2.5 years. and the same contractor that I sold the goods to, I come to find out from my installer that now he's out looking for bids on other equivalents. So I knew what I had to do. You know, I really wanted to talk to somebody I know at the state level who specified the playground in the first place, the first job.
Uh-huh.
So having said that, I will admit it took me from last Thursday till today, so it was a week.
Okay.
And I got up the courage, only because I'm talking about it now, but I just called him about an hour ago. And, you know, the guy turned out to be my best friend. He goes, there's no way to, you know, I said, well, I gave him all the particulars, and then he went into the job on how the same contractor tried to substitute other things. And come to find out that he's used my playground that I represent years ago in Jersey City housing developments. So he goes, there is no equal. He goes, you know, here I'm putting it off for a week to call this guy. And he goes, let him send
it. Because of what thoughts?
I don't know. I just was afraid that he would say, don't worry, I'm not going to back you. I can't back you because it's a state thing. You know, I just felt that I was asking for him to maybe go beyond his scope.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, so that's sort of, you know, negative, the art of negative predicting.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
But, you know, if I had done it Thursday, I would have, you know, all weekend I pondered about it. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no one else has experienced that, by the way.
Yeah. So,
Can everyone relate to that one, you know? That thinking that it's just not. It's gonna. If I call somebody about X, there's gonna be. It won't work. They won't like it. They'll reject me. I'll fail. Say yes if you've experienced that. Yes.
Yep.
Come on, everybody. This is the audience participation part.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So those are really, really powerful ones to have breakthroughs with. Did you sit down and do a worksheet on it?
I did. Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
Yeah, but there's, you know, there's so much fear in some in this kind of thing. But when you look at all of it, you know, what's the cost if you don't? And
right.
Just about staying safe and comfortable, and, you know, it goes back to when you were 5 years old, God knows.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, if you can get past that one, I mean, this is a big one for a lot of people. It's the whole thing about making follow-up calls. Is the whole thing of asking for people for stuff. It's that whole area of putting yourself out there fearlessly.
Right, and fearlessly is a key word. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when you shift from fear and you realize that the fear is just made up and you don't know what's going to happen and what's the worst that could happen, well, probably isn't going to be that bad. After all, as I say, they are not going to send a hitman to take you out.
Right.
Well, maybe where you are. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're dealing with the mafia, all bets are off, okay?
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. However, so, you know, that can be a really good one to say, okay, I'm gonna look at every situation where I'm avoiding a connection for possible rejection and really, really doing the worksheet on it a lot until something just shifts. And this place of fearlessness is a really powerful place. It's just like doing anything. It's like taking out the garbage. I mean, it's like, no deal. I just go and take it out. I just do this. It's like no big deal. And it's kind of fun because I feel powerful when I'm talking to that person.
Yeah.
So anyway, Scott, congratulations. I mean, that's the kind of simple thing that can change your whole business.
Yeah, and then my guy.
If you had let it go, and then this guy kept substituting parts and stuff and undercutting you and blah blah blah, then your company wouldn't have looked good. It would have just been a real, you know, kind of a loss, right?
Yep.
And
well, the other thing too is I was able to turn it into something, you know. As I felt more comfortable with them, I said, well, what other projects you working on? I said, you know, I named a few that he's already spec'd us on. But then he gave me another four projects I never even knew about. And then I said to him, you know, it sounds like I should really come down and meet with you because he's in Trenton. He's probably, you know, 2 hours away, which is no big deal.
Yeah.
And He goes, yeah. He goes, I says, you know, let me, do you have some date? He goes, let me get four people in the office together, and I'll send you an email back with some dates that were available.
Yeah.
And so it worked out, you know, it just even turned it beyond, you know, covering my back on one job to, you know, looking at other jobs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it was great.
Do we like that result, everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that happens when we get past this stuff.
Right. Yep.
You know, the second to last, or the question, what possibilities might open up to you if you no longer identified with that belief? That's the kind of thing. Possibilities do open up for you that simply couldn't happen if we were stuck in the belief.
So one of the things, that he just said that I think is really key for me to not be stuck in the belief also means I can be really confident about what I'm doing. Because sometimes I think I'm not stuck in the belief, but my actions are so wimpy or they're so, you know, and so that's really different to do it with confidence. And confidence has to be for real. It can't be made up.
No. But, you know, remember, confidence is always there. It's not something you have to manufacture. So you might say all the things on the left-hand side, which we call the unreality, all the thoughts, beliefs, worries, etc., come and go, are triggered, blah, 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 all that stuff forever. And on the right-hand side, you've got reality, and that's who you are innately, and who we all are innately, is courage, we're love, we're understanding, we're capability, we're pretty amazing. But that gets covered over by the stuff on the left-hand side, right? So, but you can't fake it if you've got a real negative belief happening and you're not feeling that confidence. But as you do the work and you start to dissolve the negativity, the other one just starts to emerge naturally, and then you're not faking it. Does that make sense? That basic explanation? You know, it's you know, I might say it's the most important idea in this whole work, is to understand that who we are underneath all of these limitations and fears and avoidance, etc., is perfectly fine, totally functioning. It's nothing you really have to improve. It will be there when you need it if you're not stuck, etc., etc. You ever been in I had a tractor accident way back when I was, I don't know, 22 or something. And I was working on a farm, and I drove a wagon full of hay into a barn. And my the clutch stuck, and I couldn't stop it from going. And it kept going into the barn. And the problem was, at the end of the barn was a big barn door, and then it was a drop of about 10 feet into the barnyard. And I saw very clearly that I lost control of the tractor, and it was going to crash into the barnyard. And at that moment, everything just calmed down, everything slowed down. There was no upset, there was no fear, there was no nothing, there was just in the moment. And as it passed through the barnyard, I jumped off the tractor, and I didn't hurt myself. I was lucky. The tractor was totaled, however. But it's like that kind of thing. In the moment, we have the resources and the presence just to be there and handle what we have to handle. And there's no, you know, logical thinking or anything. So it's the same thing that it was Shelley that was talking, right? Shelley just put herself on mute. Who was talking? Who was talking about this issue?
I'm off mute. Can you hear me, Robert?
Yeah,
this is Shelley.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was Shelley.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to fake anything in terms of being calm, try to be calm. I mean, I was in some calm, present there. It was an amazing experience. It changed my life. It was very powerful. So anyway, you get what I'm saying, Shelley, about this confidence? You already have it? Yes?
Yeah, I hear it. I just don't believe it all the time.
Yeah,
but,
well,
I mean,
the not believing it is on the left-hand side of doubts,
I got it.
Fears, all that kind of stuff, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is what we often try to do is we try to, quote, boost our confidence. Now, you know, some of these things I think can work in a temporary kind of sense. You can do positive self-talk and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't really hurt. But it's not very lasting. We don't really feel it's true, you know. Hey, I can do it. I'm okay. I've done it before. Let's go for it. And the back of your mind saying, yeah, but I'm a total phony, right? Can we relate to that, yes?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
I do this thing like Woody Allen, which is I have two voices in my head. The one I'm manipulating to say the words I want to manipulate, and then the other one. And the problem is when you're doing all that manipulating, it's not really confident. It's all manipulating.
Exactly. So you want to find the belief under the manipulation and dig deep and see what that's all about. Because that's the fearful, small, limiting belief that doesn't feel you're okay. And that's just...
Right. And so I'm trying to compensate by manipulating.
Exactly. That's
it's
what we
quite
do.
Complicated, and it's
we
very...
Yeah. It's very complicated, and it's also very simple as well. You know, we can turn it into a lot of stuff, right? Anyway, let's go on to somebody else. Let's have a couple more people share. Thank you, Shelley.
Hi, Robert. It's Anne Marie.
Hi, Anne Marie.
I got a lot out of the class, but a couple of things that stand out are that I can now build and sustain momentum in my business because being stuck is not an option. It just...
Good.
It's off the table because I know what I can do to get unstuck, and that by having this process, I always have choices when I didn't think I had choices before.
Yeah.
And the other thing was just the realization that all my unconscious self-talk around I don't have time, I don't have time, was really about thinking I couldn't succeed, and now I've sort of blown my cover on that one. And so I'm not under the spell of that anymore, and I'm taking charge of my schedule.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, I feel very empowered.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the simple thing is, as I'm going along, just to say to myself, well, who would I be or what would happen right now if I couldn't think this thought? It just continually puts me at choice point.
Yeah.
I mean, I just constantly have choices.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful. Exactly. Yeah. That's why I drill this stuff into you, you know, section by section.
Right.
You really see that it's powerful. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
By the way, who's on the call today? Is Laura, George, Vincent, Scott, Elizabeth, Carolyn, Shelley, Anne-Marie, Alan, Eric, Brian, and Steve, all our regulars. We've definitely lost a few people, a few because of situations, appointments, and stuff that were a problem. A few people are overseas and the time is too early, and a few people have just kind of left us. All are saying they're listening to the recordings. But so if you're one of those people listening to this recording right now, you know, I include you in my thoughts and thinking about you as you're listening to this. I just got an email from Rashid Kotwal, and Rashid said, I've listened to all the recordings, some a couple of times, but it is better to be live. You pay more attention, where it's really easy to be kind of distracted by outside things when you're listening to a recording, even though it's the exact same information. There's something about it's in the present now. We're having a conversation. We're exploring this idea now. So all I can recommend is, you know, sort of pretend as if this is it right now, every idea, every share, everything you're doing. And remember, we also do exercises in sharing that don't get recorded. So, you know, having somebody else to talk to this about, you know, it goes deeper. And, you know, it's sort of infinite how deep this can go. So listening to these over and over, even the people who have been on most of the calls, can be a really useful thing, because you'll hear things that you totally didn't hear. Because one thing happened, and I said something, or somebody shared something, and you went off on a tangent and really was thinking deeply about that idea, but then you missed the three ideas after that. Has anyone noticed that sometimes happens when you're on a in a class? Mm-hmm. Yes? No?
Sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there's a lot of juicy stuff in this that you might have missed, so you might want to review this. This is going to be up and in place in the same place indefinitely. That's the plan anyway, so for a very long time. So you can always go back, download things, and listen. Okay, let's have one more person share.
I have quite a list of things to share that I can just go through very quickly. This is Caroline.
Okay. Yeah.
So I find that, you know, it's as much an analytical as I am, often it's not the belief that I'm noticing. It's the avoidance behavior. It's the feeling. It's the irritation. And that basic feeling of stuckness. So one of the things that I found in this process is that I am being less analytical, and I'm better able to just take action, any action, in the right direction.
Yeah.
I notice that I'm stuck on this for now, and maybe I just need to take a break, a real break, in a productive way, as opposed to getting drawn into really just time waster things. So I'm making better reality checks.
That's like short breaks during the day sometimes.
And on the other side of that is you know, it's kind of like, how do you diet when you need to eat? Well, so one of the things. One of the things I
wouldn't it be great if we could just stop, right?
Right. So one of the things I noticed is this was a big stuck place. Is marketing takes up so much time, and that's true for right now because I still feel like I'm such a newbie. But I really noticed my perfectionistic behavior, and I tend to also be very optimistic. So I think that things will take a quarter of the time that they do take. And I expect in that quarter of the time for them to be perfect.
Yeah.
So those are two very, very stuck beliefs.
Yeah.
And so I've been noticing how I take much more of a reality check, and realizing from that it won't take up so much time forever. And that actually, as I get on top of this, even though it is taking up a lot of my time, it won't take up a lot of my time forever. It will free up time as things become more and more automated.
Yeah.
Another thing that I discovered underneath it all was a stuckness around marketing, is that I feel so overwhelmed in general around getting client work done because I don't feel very enthusiastic about it right now. I mean, I go through phases. So if I don't feel enthusiastic about the client work that I have now, why would I want to get really good at marketing and get even more clients? So that was definitely circular. And
so you might have to relook at the clients you want, right? The kind of work you want to do.
Well, yes, I've taken a long look at that. So,
yeah.
But the bottom line is I'm tired of working so hard.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed is that this process, even though it's the answers aren't in the analytical side of my brain, that actually I've been feeling more hopeful and better to get able to get on with things on a consistent basis, because what I tend to do in my perfectionism and wanting to bring things to completion is just push myself, you know, so I'll have a really good day, and then the next day, sometimes 2 days, are just shot. So I'm just noticing that, you know, marketing and all the activities associated with it, if you do a little bit, then there's something that goes on another level that when I come back to it, it's like, oh, you know, I'm further ahead in my sense of confidence around this. So I've been taking action with marketing. And, you know, last week people shared about just making it an experiment. And I'm less attached to the outcome. It's like, let me just market. It doesn't have to be perfect. you know, I can always come back and improve the copy, but let me do something, you know, let me follow up one more, take one more step on this lead, you know,
even if,
so that's, that whole thing of fear of rejection, for me, it's not so much fear of rejection, it's feeling that I work so hard and then it gets nowhere. And that includes, you know, working really hard to get a client, and at the 11th hour, they still say no.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure everybody can relate to this. So, yeah, when we do this exercise and do this work, we start to, as I said, come into reality instead of fantasy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't really run our lives from fantasy. It's always going to lead to a lot of disappointments and dead ends and all this stuff. So congratulations, Carolyn. You got what I wanted you to get. And there's more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you into groups and have you share for a while. I'm going to put you into groups of two, as usual. And what I'd like you to share, so we got 12 people, we should have six groups of two, is just share what you've got in the course so far, and I'm going to give you about 10 minutes. So introduce yourself and start.
Well, see, Robert, you said you don't want to just talk. You want to keep, I guess, on point. And I guess I wasn't sure what the difference is between just talking about.
Did we lose Robert?
We might have. This is Steve.
And I'm wondering whether we all got put back together as a group.
Oh, hi, everybody. I'm
and
talking.
And our facilitator is missing.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now,
but we could not, Robert. We thought you'd left us on our own.
That's so funny. I thought I was talking and everyone was hearing me, and I was wondering, why is everybody interrupting me?
That was just a limiting belief you have.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
That was really funny. Okay, Alan. That's very funny. That's very funny. Anyway, so, Alan, so what you were... Because I asked a question, and then you answered it, even though you couldn't hear me. This is hysterical. So we were talking about being in a group or an accountability partner and then talking about the process versus doing the process. So there's nothing wrong with talking about the process. Oh, I see this, and I learned that, and blah, blah, blah. But it's very different than simply saying, where are you stuck or what are you avoiding? And then the other person answers, well, I'm avoiding doing X. And then the other person might say, well, can you be a little more clear about that? And they say, well, yeah, it's sort of like this. You know, I do this. Okay, that's fine. Let's go to the next question. What do you feel when you're expressing this? What do you mean by feeling? Well, what does it feel like in your body? Or do you get upset or anything when you're avoiding stuff like this? Oh, yeah, I feel really angry at myself. So that's doing the process. So you can have some conversational stuff around it for clarity. But it's a lot different than talking about opinions and somebody else doing it, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, you can do a process pretty quickly, half an hour or less. If you're finding it takes more than an hour to go through a worksheet, maybe you're a little off track.
No, I don't.
So that's...
Right.
That now that you guys can hear me.
Yeah. And again, okay. you mentioned that you may give us a chance to find a new partner or find a partner if we didn't have one before or something.
Yeah. Is there anyone on the call right now who would like to partner up, you know, for a while and do the exercise that didn't have a partner before? Because Alan is looking for a partner.
I'll do it with you, Alan, if you want. Scott.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay, so that's Scott. Yeah. So you've got your contact information if you need it.
Yeah.
Either
no, we need
contact.
To owe Alan a call anyways to get together. So
and if you,
it's all good.
So I don't know what groups are, what people are in what groups. So if you want to just reach out to somebody, email them, they might be in a group. You might be rejected. Oh, my God. Then try somebody else. Or
so
ask me, and I'll see if
Robert,
I can help.
Robert, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I said, this is Shelley. I said I wanted a partner, too.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time with muting and unmuting. It doesn't seem to be
right,
working.
Right. So Shelley needs a partner. Anyone available to work with Shelley by any chance? Okay. I've got everyone's booked up. So, you know, I'll ask the group this.
I can ask. I don't mind. I don't mind, Shelley.
But you're already in a group, Carolyn, so don't overdo it.
Well, I know that Vince doesn't have a partner. Vince?
I'm here.
What about you? All right. You just have to ask, right?
Yeah. So, Vince, are you willing to partner with Shelley for a while?
Sure.
Okay, so contact each other. All right.
See, I asked him for a date, and he said yes.
Okay, good.
Hey, wait a minute. A date?
Wait a second.
Robert, come on now.
We're having too much fun here.
Really?
Okay.
This is like a cocktail.
I want to go on to the next topic, and this is something that I just got last night. I was working at my desk, and I just wrote this thing down. I said, you know, I had to talk about that. I'm calling it the, in capital letters, the one big issue. So the one big issue, what is that one big issue that stops you from really having a breakthrough in your business? And when are you going to finally, absolutely nail that frickin' issue for good and move on? So often it's like, we'll work on a lot of stuff, but not the one big issue. Well, because that one has a lot more charge to it. It has a lot more past experience. It has a lot more things that trigger it. And basically, we just want to bury it and hope it'll go away someday. So, you know, once you handle the one big issue, it doesn't mean you're done forever, because another big issue might come up that you haven't been seeing. But it's just, for some people, it's like, man, I don't care what. You put a gun to my head, you do the process 500 times, I don't care. I'm not going to make follow-up calls. You know in your heart of hearts that that's the big issue and it's holding you back. And if you're not willing to follow up, just like Scott and other people have said, you incredibly limit your possibilities. And that might not be an issue for you. It might be something else. For me, believe it or not, a big issue for me for a long time was anger. Anger. And when you're angry about something, you're blaming people. You're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. Or I did. I was very impatient with things. I would generally think people were idiots, which is a nice judgment on people. And so that really held me back. I mean, it prevented me from being as expansive as I'd like to be. So I did a lot of work on it. I mean, a lot of work for a long time. It was big. It was a big issue. And one day, anger just disappeared from my life. Let's not say 100%, but let's say 97.5%. I hardly ever get patient or angry anymore. I just don't. It's so, you know, ultimately that issue got nailed, and it just leaves me so much more open to do things and explore things, because it's just not there anymore. It just changed my life dramatically. And, you know, one of my measures of this, if my wife says, Robert, you haven't been angry in ages, you know, it's not just fantasy. So I want you to take a piece of paper, and to the best of your ability, you might not know quite what it is yet. So you take whatever you get, you know, I think it could be this. The point is that knowing it will not transform you. Knowing it and naming it and identifying it and nailing it down leaves open the path for you to actually work on it. But just admitting it, you know, I admit that this is the thing I just keep avoiding over and over and over again. So you can look at it from any different side. You could look at it in terms of a belief. You could look at it in terms of an action or an avoidance. And you could look at it in terms of a feeling. So, for instance, with Scott's avoidance, that's an action. But with that action, there's also a belief and there's also a feeling, so you can approach it any way you want. Mine was a feeling, the feeling of anger. It was really hard to get to the belief under anger. I don't know. I was just angry, for God's sake. I really was. And, you know, I hit it pretty well. I hit it pretty well, but it it definitely impacted my life. Right now, you should be writing. What is that thing? It's just a few words, you know, avoiding this or feeling this or this belief. So what is that one big issue? Now, this, you know, I realize that something like this is kind of a private thing, something that we don't want to admit necessarily. But I'm going to ask you to share it anyway. And if you don't want to share it, you can say, you know, I've got one, but I'm going to decline to share it. But I've got one. And, you know, let's have fun with it. We don't have to be, doesn't have to be grim. It can, you know, it's an exciting thing to discover our limitations. Did anyone read my e-zine for this week where I admitted I'm not as good as a writer as I thought I was?
I did.
Yes. Did?
You know, that was a very empowering thing because, you know, just to make it public, it's like, you know, when this person did, you know, looked at all the writing I've done from four easing, she pointed out so many things. I was chagrined. It was like, oh, God, she's so right. And it's like, so I have a belief that my writing should be perfect, and it's great. I mean, I'm not that self-aggrandized about it. I know it's not perfect, but it's like she showed me so many things. I said, well, I need help with this, and she's going to be editing my e-zines for a while, and it's great. So now I have somebody over my shoulder, and I'm going to be writing better stuff, I think. So anyway, so it's not admitting stuff is a breakthrough. So we're going to go from, let's see, we're going to start with Scott. So, Scott, what's yours? You want to share it?
Sure. I've had one contract that owes me money for a year and a half, which the job's still not done. But, you know, I've asked people for the bonding company. I have all the information I need to approach the bonding company, and I just continue to just say, yeah, I'll do it, I'll do it.
Yeah,
and I don't know why, you know.
So, yeah, well, you'll find out pretty soon. It's not not that difficult, but I know that one intimately for sure. So, you know, this one big issue might, again, it might be specific like this. You know, just getting this thing past this and then whatever is next. It might be sort of a big general issue that comes up for a lot of things. So it's avoiding uncomfortable conversations and what's the belief under that, et cetera. Okay, Scott, thanks. Okay, George, what's yours?
Yes, sorry, just getting the mute off again. I've kind of, kind of over the last 6 weeks, kind of gone through some of those issues, I think, and kind of addressed them. Part of it was, you know, really was around more the branding, you know, kind of more branding around the company, personal branding, identity out through social media, et cetera.
Yeah.
And some of that I've addressed personally. I've slotted it into.
So what's the one big issue now? You know, if it was like, okay, if there's one big wall that you keep bumping into, is there a wall? And what might it be? Can you name it? The next big wall, if not the big wall.
The next big wall?
Yeah, it's the next big wall.
Maybe I haven't seen the wall yet.
So do you have an accountability partner?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, this can be a topic for, if you can't nail it down yet, for your accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
This is also something that just might not come to you now, but an hour or two from now you might go, oh, yeah, who am I kidding? Is this?
Mm-hmm.
Or not. But, mm-hmm. you know, work to find that next big thing.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next person, Anne Marie.
Well, the phrase that comes up for me is no one will hire me. So,
right.
You know, I ask myself, oh, is that a feeling of unworthiness or I won't be wanted? That's what comes up for me.
Yeah, have you done the work on that yet?
No, and it's silly because a lot of people have hired me.
So that might be the one to work on.
Right.
You know, if you work on core beliefs and you get down to a core one, you can work on that. Doesn't mean you can't work on the other ones as well. But we don't have to figure out the perfect core belief or whatever it is before we start doing a worksheet on it.
No,
I mean, that's just another stuckness, isn't it?
Right. Just
when I have the perfect belief, I'll work on it, and then I'll be enlightened forever, and it'll be great. Well, that's just silly.
Right? To another belief, I need more clarity.
Yeah, and that will come from doing the worksheet.
Exactly.
Yes. But it's always that thing. If I only had this first and this, isn't that what you shared with us?
Yeah.
Or was that somebody else? It's like, if when this is done, when this is done, when this is done, then I can do this. That might be your big issue.
I think that was somebody else.
Maybe that was Shelley. I can't remember. Yeah. But anyway. Okay. So work on that one. Okay, Shelley, you're next. Okay, Shelley, what's yours? What's your big issue?
Just listening to, but why aren't you listening?
That's your big issue? Yeah, your phone is cutting out on us. Okay, say it again. What is it then?
Worth listening to. So why
I'm not worth listening to?
No, I am worth.
Okay, well, that's not an issue.
The issue is, why aren't you listening?
Okay. Okay, why aren't you listening? Or people don't listen to me.
Okay.
That's a good one. It's a really good one. Work on that. I did that one with my wife. It transformed our relationship. Seriously. My wife
I think that one goes for both personal and business relationships.
And business, yeah. Anyway, very good. Okay. Next is Brian Anderson.
There's some good ones there. I like Shelley's listening. I also like, Robert, I like your anger one. I could deal with that. One I worked with my accountability partner this week is why I'm not making progress my blog, and we actually worked through that yesterday when we had a call. So,
okay. So pick one. You know, often we have a lot of things and we don't work on anything. So pick one. You can work on the others later. Which one is it going to be?
The blog one. I already worked on that with Caroline. I need to do some more work on that. So I've got some steps to take on that.
Okay, fine. All right. Well, you know, this whole thing of putting ourselves out there through writing is a big issue for so many of us. I mean, it's rampant. It's, I can't write, I don't write good enough, I can't, people won't like it, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Okay.
I've got some mechanical issues and some educational issues to go through before I get there. So I've got some steps to resolve before I even get to that issue. So
yeah, well, look at the belief issues. I mean, they're bigger than anything. If you handle the beliefs, the logistical stuff, you know, you can work it out. That's fine to work on, but that's not what the class is about. It's working on the internal stuff that's stopping us, right? So you know, some people say, well, I'm stuck here. When we really look at it, it's just a logistical stuckness, and you really don't have much of an issue. It's just going to take some time because you have to figure out this and do that, and that's not the problem. And
I'm hung up on the logistical issues right now. I just need to make decisions on that and go.
Yeah, and of course, we can have beliefs around the logistical issues, you know. Like, that thing is just too damn hard. I can't do that.
Underneath that,
might be a deeper belief about something else that's beyond the logistical issue.
Yeah, feeling like you don't have anything to bring to the party when you start writing, so, yeah.
Exactly, things like that. That's deeper, right. Okay, good. We're getting somewhere here. Okay, Alan, what's yours?
Well, for me, the thing that I've realized is that I think everything should be easy, that this process of, you know, clarifying my own marketing message as a coach should be easy. You know, that I shouldn't have to work so hard to figure it out. That I should that it should just come to me. And I have to say that saying that out loud has been very helpful, because it's somehow let me, I don't know, maybe the word is stumble a little bit more, or just be a little more open to trying different ways of, you know, being a coach. And I mean, I have to say, Robert, one of the things that, and this is, I think, related, is how when you just, for instance, talked about how you now want to learn how to write better after meeting this woman, I love the fact that you open yourself up to stuff like that, you know, even after doing all that you do, because to me, that's something that I don't do well. I figure, like, well, I've studied this so much, I should have it all down, and I don't. And I kind of have to remind myself that the belief is wrong, that I can't know it all.
Exactly.
And it's okay not. And it's
try this as
okay
a new mantra,
learn.
Alan, a new mantra. I know nothing, and that's okay.
Well, in a weird-ass sort of way, it's true. Yeah.
I know. I know nothing, and that's okay. So it's like exciting. You're on an adventure every day instead of, I have to know this, and it should be like this, and how come I can't do this? And I mean, you know, you can't move an inch with that belief. It's that not knowing mind.
Well, it also makes it hard to admit that you make mistakes, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So have you really done a worksheet on this one?
A little bit. I mean, it was one of them.
Take this one as the big hairy monster and really work on it until you just can't believe that anymore. Yeah. It just seems silly to you. I mean, you got it. You understand it. Now go deeper with it.
No, I do.
Okay, good. Fantastic. All right. Mm-hmm. So Laura's next. Hi, Laura.
Okay, sorry, I was on mute. So my big limiting belief, and the whole reason I came into the class was because I really felt so stuck writing a book. It's been tremendously helpful. I was telling myself I didn't have time. And even when I would schedule time, I would not honor that time. I would give that time away if a client called and asked. And I would tell myself that clients come first,
sure,
you know, and all kind of thing. And what I really realized with your help, Robert, was that I, for some reason, was not putting myself first. And I was putting everything else first and everybody else first. And that was really what was limiting me. And so that was like a huge breakthrough. And I've been able to, I've now hired a writing coach. I've outlined the book. And I'm moving forward. It's kind of like, epiphany might be a bit strong a word, it really has been very helpful to think about it this way. Who could I be? I mean, such a powerful question. Who could I be if I didn't have that, if I didn't have these beliefs?
Yeah.
You
could be a published writer, for God's sake. This whole thing of I'm not as important as my clients definitely is a limiting belief. You know my stand on that, right? That I make myself my own best client. Not a lot of people do that. I just, no one else is going to do this stuff that I want to do. I've got to find a way to do this, get the support, do whatever in order to do certain things, especially if they're really complex. I mean, I've got to find a way myself. So the opposite of that is, you know, everyone else is more important than me, just leaves you with, you know, nothing wrong with serving people, but it can kind of leave you in the, you know, the back of the bus.
Right, right.
Okay, Laura, congratulations. Keep working on that one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, our man in Hawaii, Eric.
Okay. Well, it's funny.
Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii. where it's 8 in the morning now.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Eric, you've been on all the calls, and they started at 7 o'clock your time, and I got to give you props for that. Good man.
I just kind of roll into the office.
Yeah.
It's funny that we were just talking about this with Laura, because what I wrote down is a better work-life balance. So it's so much a business issue, but it's an issue of, like you were just saying, of not making myself my own best client and letting the work dominate other parts of my life. So, and this kind of sums up a number of the things that I have listed on the avoidance and beliefs inventory from a couple of sessions ago.
Yeah.
So just that, I wrote down a better work-life balance.
Yeah, and what's the belief underneath that prevents us from having a work-life balance? You know, as self-employed people, I think we might struggle with this more than employed people. But indefinitely in dividing work and personal time, we can, you know, overdo it on the work and not have a lot of personal time, just as simple as that. And how, you know, I've it's funny, you're saying all these things, and virtually all of these I've struggled with, and some I'm still working with to some degree, some I've handled better. is that, you know, I turned over vacations to my wife, you know, quite a long time ago. Because when I first met her, I hadn't had a vacation in years. I didn't even know what a vacation was. I mean, really, I'd never gone anywhere myself being single. I'd been single for a heck of a long time. I'd been married previously. So it's like she makes it a priority to schedule a lot of vacations, long and short, into our life. So, you know, you might need a vacation coach or somebody that has you. Do you work with a coach anyway?
No, I don't.
Okay, so something you might want to consider is having a coach yourself, but just having or a accountability buddy that says, I want to spend some time focusing on ways to have more balance. And what would more balance be? Well, it would be doing this and this and this that I just put off, and find ways to have more R&R, fun and relaxation. Because when you do that, you come back to your work more renewed. And, you know, because we just can't work all the time, we'll burn ourselves out. So what is it that prevents that ability to take breaks and renew ourselves? If we saw that, that could be a big transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It's still one I struggle with. If I wasn't married, it'd be hopeless. It'd be absolutely hopeless. Anyway, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, Vincent, got four more, so let's go quickly. So, Vincent, what's yours?
Well, I didn't have anything pinpointed specifically as you started around the clock here, and there's really several that I've kind of picked up on that I'm really starting to identify as I think this through. One of them being the logistical issues, and now this whole conversation about better work-life balance.
Right.
And everything, if I take all this, it still takes me back to that whole issue of time and my belief that I didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I've been stuck there, and I'm seeing some way out of that stuckness.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, time is an interesting one, isn't it? So definitely.
Yeah, it's
like the whole thing that Carolyn said, you know, I don't have time for marketing. I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but you know, everything else, you know, time is wasted in incredible ways that we don't even realize that we could easily fit in our marketing if we weren't wasting so much time, et cetera.
Yeah, because when I think of the logistical issues, what I need to be doing in my financial planning practice and different workshops I need to be doing to grow my practice.
Yep.
That all sounds really good, but then I get right down to it and it's like, well, I got all this other stuff I have to do first.
Yeah, and I know. I know. It's a challenge. But underneath that challenge is some limiting belief that is very insidious. So work on that, okay?
Yep.
See what you come up with. Okay. Again, I want to share a bit about working with other people, and we might go over a little bit over today, so but let's be quick. So, Steve?
Yeah. I loved your question. I've written a whole page of stuff since you asked it.
Wow.
Mine was, I'm actually afraid to engage the world.
Like that?
Yeah, a little tiny thing. I mean, I started with the little one, then it got bigger.
Yeah.
I realized that it was made of a whole handful of little stuck places that each one was a showstopper for me. And there's, you know, it's like the planet full of them.
Pick one. What's it going to be for this week?
Well, I mean, this is it. It's afraid to engage the world. And I said, what if they don't like what I present? I realized it wasn't about me anymore. It used to be about what if they don't like me. It's not that anymore.
What if they like to present?
How do I engage them? Who am I going to engage? What do I actually want out of all this? And as I started listing this, I realized each and every one I've never really allowed myself to come up with an answer for. So I started putting down here in my process that I can't hide. You know, it's like, what if I don't like what I'm getting myself into? What if I don't know, or if I can't? Let me see if I can say this. I don't know how to plug in. So the old way was I'd go into paralysis. So how do I find out? Well, I got to explore it. So you know, what if I don't like, what if they don't like what I present? Okay, fine. So how do I find out? I got to go ask. So I try some things. I go talk to people. I make some friends. I say, is this more useful? Is that more useful? I got to go find out. A big one for me that's growing is actually the process of self-mastery. It's like discovering where I want to improve.
Steve, we got to wrap up. Give yourself 30 seconds to wrap it up.
Okay.
In a bow.
Oh, it came up to a whole pile of them. So what I realize is that all of them need work. So here's, let me pick one. Let's see. I think they're, let's see, what do I want to pick?
Throw a dart.
All right. What do I want to teach? And because I don't know what I want to teach. I don't know what I want to bring out to the world. I have so many things. They're all useful. They're all needed.
How about I can't make a decision?
Hey, there's a good one. What I realize is about that, I couldn't make a decision. I never allowed myself because I was afraid to make a wrong decision. That was what was under it.
So work on that. You know, time's up because we got to move on. But
that's okay.
You got a lot to work on here. But ultimately, you've got to choose. And I think this thing of choosing would be, you know, that could be a good thing for you. Okay, next person is Elizabeth. And thanks, Steve.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. So I was on the call with Carolyn and chatting with her, and all of a sudden I started to cry, and I couldn't really understand why I was doing that. And the first thing that came to my mind was overwhelm. So she was very gracious and helped me through that a little bit. And two things came up for me was, and obviously I think they're connected. One is this idea that I have to, it's uncertainty. So I need to know, then I can strive for it. So something that you were saying earlier about that. So I feel like I need to have a clear business plan so that I can strive and follow it all the way through, and then I can feel like I'm doing the right thing. And then the flip side to that is this idea that others know much more than me, and that just traps me. So they both, I think they counter each other and get me really paralyzed a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's a great insight.
I love your mantra, though. I know nothing, and that's okay. I've just written that and posted it on my wall in front of me.
I just came up with that one. I like that one. It's simple, right?
I like it, too.
It's just it creates some space for you. So work on those two things. I mean, the potential breakthrough for this, we just don't realize until we look back sometime later and realize how far we've moved from stuckness to freedom. Okay, fantastic, Elizabeth. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, and last but not least is Carolyn.
Okay, so I came up with I don't know how to approach qualified leads. And I'm in the pharmaceutical industry and with startups, and these people are so incredibly busy. They run around like chickens with their heads cut off. I mean, as brilliant as they all are. And I'm dealing with a very specific example that I had someone say, write to me, I need you to help. I worked with them before. They want me to oversee the work that someone else they've engaged to help them doing because they feel they're not quite on the right track. And we've had exchanges of emails, and she writes back and says, I'm so sorry I didn't get back to you before. I need to get a life. And, you know, this was an example of just going for it and taking action and following, I think it was Shelley. I sent in the subject line, I can help, last week. And here we are, it's Thursday. I asked her to send me the person's contact information so that I could take that follow-up of pushing him to contact me.
Right.
So this is a perfect example. It's like, I don't know how to approach these people who are so busy.
Yeah.
They so could use my help.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
really
I understand their psychology.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like this guy maybe is afraid of that he'll be shown to not be competent enough or something like that. That's not
Carolyn, if you were fearless, and you know, you're a real smart cookie, and you know, you know about a lot of this stuff. But just imagine you are the most fearless person on planet Earth. Can you imagine that for just a moment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a moment. Only a moment.
Only a moment. Okay. So, you know, this that whole thing is I don't know what to do given this complexity, and there is complexity there, and there is the reality of people not returning calls, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're the most fearless, courageous, persistent person on earth, you'd find a way, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like I've really picked up from doing this. It's like just keep persisting, and then I'm
because
like...
Because everything else is just, it's too hard, I can't do it. It's just a litany of reasons, and they're very reasonable, but they don't help you to get the job done. You know, I remember reading from a book, it was Craft Masters of Japan, these people that... were real masters, you know, at sword making and weaving and flower arrangement and all this kind of stuff. And you couldn't believe the amount of dedication to stuff that if we were faced with it, we would see it as absolutely impossible to do this stuff. I mean, for instance, if you are the apprentice to a sword maker for 5 years, you're spending your time cutting charcoal into 1 centimeter squares.
Oh my God.
When I heard that, it was like, holy mother of boy. Yeah, it's just like, because if you don't have the perfect fire, you can't do it. You just don't just throw in some Kingsford briquettes. You actually take the charcoal and cut it with a knife into 1 centimeter, perfect 1 centimeter squares. And so, don't you think what you're doing is perhaps a little easier than that? Despite its complexity.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to have this kind of, you have to find that place, and the only thing that's stopping it is some kind of belief that, oh, this is just too hard, this is not worth it, they're not interested. You know, when that all disappears, you're just left with fearlessness. And then innovation just, you'll think of, you know, innovation, creativity, resourcefulness. Hey, and you just told me of some ways you did that. You're not, it's like then it becomes a real art, the art of connecting brilliantly. And you might have to push the envelope a bit and do some crazy things. But it's exciting. It's really exciting. And the potential for amazing things in your business are I think around the corner. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I will work on being inspired by what you said. I kind of feel the problem is they're stuck. I'm no longer stuck. I'm here. I'm ready.
Yeah, they're stuck and I'm not, so I'm here to help. So, pal, you're going to find a way.
Okay.
Look, you never know. I have a client that's coming up. I'm going to meet him in an hour or so. He says, you know, I've worked with him years before, and he's having a lot of trouble with his business, and he has bipolar disorder. And that's it's really an issue, you know. So my thing is, well, how can I help this guy that's really hard to focus? So I'm coming up with all sorts of creative ideas. I mean, instead of, oh, I can't work with this guy, maybe I can. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
thank you
very much. And I have an addendum to this, and this is a serious request and important to me and to you, is I would like you to write up something to tell how this class has benefited you. Don't worry about perfect wording. I can tweak the wording or whatever. I need testimonials for this for my next class. I mean, that's the thing that's missing. People, first class sort of taken on faith. The next people are going, well, does this really work? And we've had some great results. So are y'all willing to just write up 2 or 3 sentences, you know, what I've gotten out of this class? Hey, don't worry about how you phrase it. Just your genuine expression of the value you've gotten is all we need. You willing to do that, everybody?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone not willing to do it?
Well,
you know,
well, they won't tell you that.
You won't tell me that, yeah. So I'll send this in the email, my follow-up email, and then I'll bug you a few times. Don't worry about it being perfect. Just share some of the things you shared today with your group members, and that'll be perfect. And if you didn't have the world's biggest breakthrough, you know, don't worry about it. Just share something, okay? It also creates completion for you. I took the course. I got this. I've admitted. I've declared. that I've moved forward. I've had some breakthroughs, and that leaves space for taking the next breakthroughs. So I'd hope to spend more time in this, but I wrote some notes on this, and this is about using the process with others. And again, we're going to go a few minutes over, I'm afraid, but unless you have to be somewhere in the next few minutes, please stick with the line. So the first thing, you know, you might have a client, you might want to do it with your wife, that can be tricky depending on who you're married to or husband, or with a friend. You say, hey, this is process, I've been taking this course, and it's really helped me in a lot of ways, and I want to get some practice with it because I want to use it with some clients. Or you can say to some clients, look, I want to do some of these, want to practice this a bit, and I'd like to give you a few half-cost sessions or low-cost sessions, or if you're confident enough, you just integrate it into an existing session. So how you actually do that is up to you. But the first thing is you want to keep it simple. You know, the process has the 12 questions. Don't make it 20 questions. Don't get too complex. You can get deeper with the sub-questions later on, but for the first part, just stick with the 12 questions. Also, something you might want to do is have them go to the site and get the free ebook, so they know all the principles and the process before they start working with you. It's not absolutely necessary, but sometimes that'll help. Number two, definitely use the worksheet. Have them have a worksheet in front of them, and you have the worksheet in front of you as you're asking these questions. Don't move to the next question until the last one is handled. So if they can't get to the belief, that really stops the process right there, so you have to dig a little further. And, you know, that's what the sub-questions can help you with. You know, if you have the book open to that, the sub-questions, you can just, oh, well, how about this question? You know, blah, 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 whatever it is. And that can help you. That's the purpose of the sub-question. If the first question doesn't work, one of the others often will. But don't go through all the questions, just if you need to, if it's kind of stuck, okay? Make sure for yourself that you've mastered each question. And, you know, what I mean by mastery, it, at least, is you're confident. When you do the process, it works. You get insights. You get movement from stuckness to being less stuck. If you don't understand a question, or you've always had trouble with that question, go back to the book and read about it. Listen to these classes, you know, review some of the stuff so you're really clear. For instance, what's the difference between a cost and a payoff? Those are really, really big distinctions, and sometimes people muddle them up, you know. So, and it's true for all of the questions. Be very, very clear. The first eight questions are all about identifying the attributes of the stuckness. Where are you stuck? What are you avoiding? What do you feel? What do you believe? How do you behave? Is it true? Is it working for you? What are the costs? What's the payoff? That you're really looking at that situation, belief, avoidance from eight different sides until it just pops. It's like it's obviously sort of this entity that is not serving you but is running your life, or in a particular area. The last four questions are very different. That's why I put a black thing so it stands out. So that's the shift between examining the belief and going beyond the belief. And it's kind of like this. I say in marketing, what you'll get people's attention with the problem, but they'll only buy if they see a future or they see a solution. And it's a similar kind of psychology, I think. So when you're talking about possibilities, you're talking about something totally outside their ordinary habitual frame of reference, which is the stuckness. So who would you be if it were impossible to attach to this belief? And sometimes some of the sub-questions can help there. I mean, just how would you feel? What perspective would you have, et cetera, et cetera, if you couldn't have that belief, it was impossible, if those ideas could not go through your brain cells anymore, what would it be like? And what they're doing is sort of a visualization or a futurizing exercise with that little question. because often people are so stuck in the belief they don't look it outside it. So now we're stepping outside. Who would you be if you couldn't have that anymore? And some people have found that to be a very powerful question. Remember, we did a whole session just on that thing. And then the other ones are simply, the one after that is simply taking that, making it a little more concrete. What possibilities might open up to you? And then people can start to name possibilities. That's a little easier question sometimes than the first one of who would you be. Like, if you couldn't have that, what would you do that you couldn't do otherwise? And what other things and what possibilities? And people start to see, wow, without that belief, tons of possibilities. And this other one is just, is it okay to just be who you are without having this belief? Because, you know, in some sense, it hasn't been okay to just be who we are. It's been okay to have the stuck belief and be stuck with it. That's the okayness, which hasn't been working for us. But heck, just the opposite. Would you be okay with just being yourself? Just letting it go and just being? By the way, I have yes and no, and I say initial. When you do that initially, yes, I'll be okay. You're sort of signing off on it. And then the final one is, within that space, what are you going to do next? And have people make often people in that space are very clear about what the next death is. I'm going to do this. I'm going to call that person. I'm going to do whatever. Urge people to take action quickly to validate the insight that they've gotten from the exercise. Okay? So, if you need to practice it with a friend or an accountability partner, if you ask the questions, there's no way you can really screw this up. You don't want to go into side issues of where that belief came from. I mean, sometimes I'll do that, but I don't recommend it for people who are just starting this. You can go into all sorts of tangents that aren't useful. And this belief was connected to that belief, and your mother said this to you, and ever since then, and da-da-da. All of that is worth exploring, but you don't really need to. If you're doing this with other people, you can get into areas that are really complex, and then we're sort of looking for a solution. And really, this isn't looking for a solution. This process is about awareness and transformation. Awareness is awareness of just what is going on, all those different aspects. And then the transformation is what is beyond that. What is beyond all that stuckness? And what sometimes we get from this process, the more we do it, we get this just feeling of clear emptiness and okayness, just being who we are. We see that all the stuckness has just been an illusion, sort of a hypnotic dream. Well, except not sort of, really a hypnotic dream, very much like that. So, when we realize that, sometimes it's an oh my God experience. Oh gosh, I've held that onto that for so long, and it just doesn't hold water. It just ain't true in any way whatsoever. Isn't that interesting? And often there's kind of a pop, a realization. And don't worry if there isn't the world's biggest realization. Doesn't happen every time. Just an insight is enough. And sometimes, of course, you have to do this process a lot, sometimes on one issue, for it really to pop, because it's so firmly entrenched, it's hard for it to let go. So those are my notes, pretty simple directions for using this with other people. I do ask that, not promote on your website that you are certified to do the getting unstuck process. You don't have to do that. I don't have any certification. Everything I learned, most of what I learned about this is from Byron Katie and other teachers. So it's not my absolutely unique patented process. I just didn't want to go there with that. I wanted to give her full acknowledgement for this. And, you might want to, if you haven't read Byron Katie's book, I recommend it, Loving What Is. Doesn't hurt. It works more in relationships. It's a different focus on what you work on, but the process is very much the same. So, any questions about this before we wrap up? Any questions at all? And by the way, it's fine if you never use this with anybody else, but there's something that I've discovered. If I do it with other people, I get clearer for myself. It really helps me get clear, and I understand the process, and I can do it better with myself. So, anybody?
Robert, can we photocopy those forms?
Yeah, sure, you can.
Okay, yeah. And as long as it's got your information on the bottom, that would be okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Great.
Yeah, and just say, you know, I learned this unstuck process. I've been using it on myself. It's been very helpful, and it's something that can... You know, when people feel stuck, holding out the hope that you can get unstuck is often received very, very well. You know, sometimes I'm working on logistical marketing stuff with my client, but it's like, okay, we've met for the last 3 weeks. You've said you're going to do this, and nothing's happening. I think it's time to look at getting unstuck. Because logistics are important. The how-tos are important. But if people aren't moving on that stuff, there's a stuckness. And if you can talk about it a lot of ways. I've tried a lot of things, and nothing works better than really going into the process and looking at the beliefs and actions, et cetera. Nothing works better than actually doing the work, as Katie would say. So, is that it on that? Were you clear? Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great.
Yep. Yes. This has been wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Okay, so, you know, thanks everybody for being in the class and sticking with it. And really, you know, it's really been fun doing this Maestro conference and listening into your sharing. And, you know, you've really been into it. You're really exploring. You're really serious about it. And you're having fun with it. And, you know, this place of discovery of who you are and what's going on is the biggest adventure of all. There's nothing you can really compare it to. And what's on the other side of that is pretty amazing. This feeling of aliveness and possibility and fearlessness and courage and creativity, it's all there. It's all there. It's just covered over with a little slime and mud. our little old brains trying to survive. So thank you, everybody. It's been great. It's really been one of the favorite classes I've done, and I'm looking forward to doing more. So,
thank you, Robert.
Thank you. Get out there and make it happen.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye-bye. Adios.